Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, May 12, 2024, Romans.
All right, before we get started, a few announcements. First of all, there will be a short meeting for those individuals who volunteered to distribute Vacation Bible School flyers today after the second class in the big classroom. And then everybody wanted their name up here. Four birthdays. Greg Morton's birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday. He said he's only 16 years old, but he's been kissed 100,000 times. Daria, it's her birthday today. And Gresha and Joe, see, they even sit together when it's their birthday. Gresha and Joe, it's their birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday. And then a lot of you ladies came for a special Mother's Day message. Okay. Here's the special. I worked on this a long time. Which came first? The chicken or the egg? Divine viewpoint answer, the rooster. Happy Mother's Day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this morning is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. When I think back as a youngster, in fact, I was an unbeliever. And most of the people in our family were unbelievers. There was only one believer in our home for quite some time, and that was my mother. And on Mother's Day, she was so blessed because Dad would take all of us fishing. And my mom doesn't fish. She can't swim, so she didn't swim. She doesn't water ski, she didn't water ski. We fished, swam, water skied, and Mom cooked the meals. We were in a log cabin, and while Mom was fixing breakfast, looking out the window, a bear stood up and looked in the window at her. But what separated my mother was the fact that she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And she got into a sound doctrinal Bible teaching church, Spokane Bible Church, and grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one thing that the Bible is absolutely clear about. The most beautiful ladies in the world are those who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter, you could never get married, never have children. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in that category, the most beautiful ladies in the world. You could be married and never have children. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in that category, the most beautiful ladies of the world. And we have in Upland Bible Church many ladies who have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have personal love for Jesus Christ, occupation with Jesus Christ, and they are the most beautiful ladies in the world. And so that ought to be number one for Mother's Day, for you to be in that category, the most beautiful ladies in the world. My mother was in that category. She's in heaven now. My wife is in that category. Most beautiful lady I've ever known is my wife and my mother. And many of you fall into that same category. That is far, far more important than anything else for you ladies, to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that makes you absolutely beautiful. Romans chapter 7, let's start the corrected translation at verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage, by means of the body of Christ, with the result that you might belong to, be married to another of a different kind, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the one, Jesus Christ, who was raised up from the dead, for the purpose that we might might bear fruit for God. The purpose is to bear fruit for God. And that includes the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That includes having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and having personal love for the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. It includes having maximum divine good production in your life, gold, silver, and precious stones that will be rewarded by the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, for the purpose that we might bear fruit for God. Verse 5, for while we were in the flesh, that is controlled by the sin nature, married to the sin nature, the first husband from physical birth to salvation, the sinful passions which by the law, Mosaic law is the marriage counselor of the first marriage, were at work in the members of our body, resulting in carpophoreo, resulting in the production of fruit associated with spiritual death. And the fruit as unbeliever was sin, human good, evil. It was living in Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. It was living our life by the lust patterns of the sin nature, which are multitude. Verse 6. But now we have been released from the law, the Mosaic law, the marriage counselor of the first marriage, by means of having died to that by which we were bound, the baptism of the Spirit and retroactive positional truth, with the result that we might serve in the new way of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the supernatural power to live the supernatural spiritual life of the church age, and absolutely not in the old way of the letter, the Mosaic law. Verse 7, therefore, what are we to say? What are we to conclude? Is the Mosaic law sin? Meganoita, emphatically not. On the contrary, I would not have come to know about the sin nature except through the law. For indeed, I would not have known about lusting, the lust patterns of the sin nature, if the Mosaic law had not said, you shall not lust, which is the 10th commandment. The Apostle Paul discovered the lust patterns of the sin nature through the Mosaic law, specifically the 10th commandment, Exodus 20, verse 17. The lust patterns of the sin nature desire what belongs to others, and that may include people or property, possessions, authority, power, approbation, recognition, anything that belongs to others. Having discovered lust through the Mosaic law, the Apostle Paul became cognizant of the first marriage that occurred at physical birth, that the sin nature was the first husband, the unbeliever is the wife, and the Mosaic law declares to the unbeliever that he has a very bad marriage. That's Codex number one. Then the Mosaic law points to the solution. Codex number two, revealing through shadow Christology and soteriology, revealing the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brought us to a study of the doctrine of the lust patterns of the sin nature. And we've studied the first 7 points. Point one was definition. Lust is the overwhelming desire for something. Lust is an illicit, uncontrolled, overwhelming desire. Lust originates from the sin nature. Lust seeks to gain the cooperation of your volition. Point two, the sin nature has a threefold essence. The area of weakness, the source of all temptation and personal sin. The area of strength, the source of all human good and dead works. And third, the lust patterns. Point three, the lust patterns of the sin nature include power lust, pleasure lust, sexual lust, approbation lust, monetary lust, chemical lust, crusader lust, revenge lust, criminal lust. Point four, we notice some introductory principles that the lust patterns distract the believer away from living the spiritual life of the church age and get you into living in Satan's cosmic system. Lust divorces the believer from reality. Lust distracts the believer from the virtue, the honor, the integrity of the spiritual life, and replaces it with inordinate desire related to self-gratification. That brought us to point five. There are two categories of lust: unfulfilled lust and fulfilled lust. And neither category of lust will make you happy. Unfulfilled lust causes direct frustration and intensifies the desires involved. Fulfilled lust does not bring the anticipated happiness that you were looking for, and therefore Operation Boomerang takes place. You wind up in the third stage of reversionism. Fulfilled lust increases the function of Christian degeneracy and removes the believer from spiritual recovery. Now there's no rebound, no filling of the Spirit, no teaching ministry of the Spirit. Happiness and contentment do not originate from the fulfillment of the lust pattern of the sin nature. Happiness and contentment comes from you having a personal relationship with the living and true God, Jesus Christ. It's the result of you living the spiritual life. It's the result of you growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. It's the result of you having personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. And when you have that, the other side of the coin is you share the happiness of God. Now you have happiness and contentment every day of your life. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in Nevada or Las Vegas or at your job or your marriage or your family, you have happiness every moment of every day. You take that happiness with you everywhere you go. That brought us to point six. Lust destroys the modus operandi, the MO of the Christian way of life. And therefore, lust destroys the effectiveness and power of prayer in your life. We studied that in James 4, verse 3. Lust turns the believer into a tricky and deceitful person. Lust destroys the believer's motivation to glorify God and replaces it with self-promoting motivation. Lust causes the believer to become dishonest with himself and therefore dishonest with others. Lust divorces the believer from reality so that every mechanic of the spiritual life is distorted. And lust can only be overcome by living the spiritual life of the church age. Grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and attain spiritual adulthood. And then we noted point seven, the trend toward legalism manifests itself in certain lust patterns, such as power lust. And this is the dominance of legalistic believers in many local churches. Approbation lust. This is the ego trip of self-righteous arrogance. You just love to have people tell you what a great believer you are. You're really a great believer. Crusader lust, where believers seek to dominate the government and emphasize political activity and activism. and destroy the distinction between church and state. Now, I love America. I love this nation, and I love everything that flag stands for. But the greatest thing that I can ever do, and the greatest thing you can ever do, is to be in a sound doctrinal teaching church like Upland Bible Church, day after day after day, fulfill your royal priesthood, and get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, and then fulfill your royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's the greatest thing you can do for this nation. Not out there in political activism. You're not helping anything. You're a part of the problem. You're not a solution. This is the hope for America. The hope for America is the pivot of mature believers to enlarge. It's shrinking and shrinking and shrinking, getting smaller. That's the problem. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. This is the greatest thing you can do for America. What you're doing now, what we do twice on Sunday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, I love this nation. This is the greatest thing. This is the only hope that this nation has. The only hope is for the pivot of mature believers to enlarge. When it enlarges, then God will bless America. When it's shrinking, God must discipline America. And the pivot is shrunk so small, we're on the verge of the fifth cycle of national discipline. We're on the edge of the cliff. We're living on the edge of the volcano. And we will not be a client nation to God anymore if we continue the way we're going. And it's really, really at its bottom when we become anti-Semitic as a nation. When we, all over campuses in the United States of America, hate Israel, hate the Jewish people, blame all the problems in the world on Israel and the Jewish people, and God has made it clear, I will bless those who bless Israel, I will curse those who curse Israel. We will be cursed by God. Why? Because the pivot of mature believers is shrinking, shrinking, shrinking. And the problem is with believers who don't give a damn about Bible doctrine. Don't give a damn about the Word of God. And no one loves this country more than I do. But the only hope, the only hope is for the pivot to increase. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. So the trend toward legalism manifests itself in certain lust patterns, power lust, approbation lust, crusader lust, and social lust. And this includes the persecution of grace believers by legalists. Legalistic believers persecuting grace believers through slander and gossip and judging and maligning. The only solution to legalism and its attendant lusts is to rebound and then grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that brings us to point 8. The trend toward antinomianism manifests itself in certain lust patterns. And some of you are saying, How do you spell that? Antinomianism. You need to increase your vocabulary here a little bit. There you go. Now you're ready for the spelling bee. We're going to have the Upland Bible Church spelling bee. Just kidding. Some of you are ready to get up and walk out. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. The trend toward antinomianism manifests itself in certain lust patterns. First of all, approbation lust. And this is the ego trip of lasciviousness. And then you're saying, spell that. Just going to have to do your best here. And lawlessness. This is the ego trip of lasciviousness and lawlessness. Second, power lust. And this is the criminal believer trying to dominate his environment. This is the criminal believer trying to dominate his environment. Third, there is social and sexual lust. Social and sexual lust, and this believer seeks to center his social life around sexual conquest. How many sexual conquests can he make? And I'm talking about believers. So social and sexual lust. This believer seeks to center his social life around sexual conquests. Four, pleasure lust. This believer lives his life in the partying mode, with the party crowd, to promote and gratify his sexual lust and his chemical lust. And when I say chemical lust, that's two categories, alcohol and drugs. And it's sad to say, but America is destroyed also today because of alcoholism and drug addiction. Alcoholism and drug addiction is destroying the United States of America. And you know, the people that are alcoholics, they're in denial. They totally deny that they're an alcoholic. And they are an alcoholic. The only one that doesn't know that they're an alcoholic is themselves. Everybody else knows that they're an alcoholic. And drug addiction is taking down the United States of America. So pleasure lust. This believer lives his life with the partying crowd, the partying mode, to promote and gratify his sexual lust and his chemical lust, drug addiction and alcoholism. Five is chemical lust. And chemical lust is to be heavily involved in alcohol and drugs. Heavily involved in alcohol and drugs. Six, lust for revenge. Lust for revenge. Sometimes this is caused by being jilted in an affair, or by being frustrated in criminal activity. Lust for revenge. And then seven, there is criminal lust. And criminal lust is often connected with monetary lust, and it results in illegal monetary gain. So the trend toward antinomianism manifests itself in certain lust patterns, approbation lust, power lust, social and sexual lust, pleasure lust, chemical lust, lust for revenge, and criminal lust. Point nine, the categories of lust in the lust pattern of the sin nature. The categories of lust. Now, when it comes to lust, all members of the human race are swimming in the same gene pool. None of us are free from lust. If you are a human being, whether you're normal or abnormal, you have lust problems. Because of the different categories of lust, all believers do not function under the same category. The category of lust relates to your MO, is directly related to both your personal areas of weakness and your personal areas of strength in your sin nature. All of us possess a sin nature in the cell structure of our bodies, and therefore all of us as human beings have areas of strength and areas of weakness. Remember that our areas of strength are very deceiving. And we often build a false self-esteem on our areas of strength. However, it is quickly broken down by arrogance. And this means that one person's weakness is another person's strength. And what that does, that's the basis of our own arrogance, self-righteous arrogance, self-justification, and rationalization. So let's go through some of these lust patterns of the sin nature. First of all, power lust. Power lust. And we are witnessing this all throughout the United States of America every day, witnessing power lust. What is going on in political... I know we're getting close to an election and all of these things, but I don't expect we'll ever, ever have another honest, virtuous election again in America. There's just too much power lust, and the people in the charge of and operating by their power lust or setting up things, they already got it in the state of Nevada, that after the election is over, they will still take write-in ballot for the next 4 days after it's all over. Yeah, well, no matter who won before that, you've lost after that's over. There's no honor. There's no virtue. There's no integrity. It's just to be in power. Stay in power. Do whatever you have to do to stay in power. So power lust is the worst of all, because almost all other lusts are related to this one. So a couple of things. One, power lust is the most devastating force for evil in human history. Power lust is the most devastating force for evil in human history. Two, it doesn't require leadership ability or a prominent position to have power lust. It does not require leadership ability or a prominent position to have power lust. Three, you can be at the bottom of the ladder, rejected by all, and yet you still have strong power lust. Power lust is one of our greatest enemies, and it comes in dozens of different packages and in all flavors. Secondly, approbation lust. approbation lust. And approbation lust is one of the extensions of power lust. However, it is separate from power lust because there are some people that want approbation, but not necessarily power. For example, the beautiful woman may not desire power at all, but she certainly wants someone to tell her that she's beautiful. That's approbation lust. Third, stimulation lust. Stimulation lust. This has many parts to it, in which we cater to the nerve centers and functions of our body in the name of pleasure. This includes sexual lust or lasciviousness. This includes drunkenness, becoming an alcoholic. This includes drug addiction. This includes mental stimulation or intellectual arrogance. Stimulation lust. Fourth, there is killer lust. Killer lust. Sometimes, in fact, oftentimes, inferior people or weak people trying to prove that they are superior, they will resort to violence or torture or murder. Murder can occur even within one's own family, as in the Bible, in the case of Cain. Once this lust comes, it does not discriminate between family, friends, or enemies. Some people who live to kill, love to kill, and lust to kill. Fifth, anger lust or cruelty lust. Anger lust or cruelty lust. Now, anger lust does not always, but definitely can bring out cruelty. Some people are genetically mean and naturally cruel. Some people hide it well, and some do not. One, this lust is the evil desire to hurt others. This lust is the evil desire to hurt others. Two, some people can't stand when anyone opposes them, whether it's a loved one or an enemy, or someone at work, then cruelty lust surfaces. They just can't stand it when someone opposes them and tells them that they're wrong. Some people by nature are kind, some people by nature are cruel. Three, variations in cruelty lust depend on living in Satan's cosmic system. And sixth, money lust. Money lust. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all categories of evil. And some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And that's divine discipline. Divine discipline from the Lord. So, one, Money lust expresses itself in all the categories of evil. Money lust expresses itself in all the categories of evil. Two, one's attitude toward money very clearly delineates one's overall philosophy of life. One's attitude toward money very clearly delineates one's overall philosophy of life. It clearly shows you your spiritual condition, or the fact that you have no spiritual life. Three, it is a very definite fact that love for money can distract the believer away from God and the Word of God and the spiritual life. It's a very definite fact that love for money can distract the believer away from God, the Word of God, and the spiritual life. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your way of life, and this is addressed to us as royal family of God, and referring to our spiritual life that God has for us in the church age. Let your way of life, your spiritual life, be free from the love of money. And then we have being content. When you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, when you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, then you are content with whatever God gives you. You're content with whatever you have by way of money. Whether you have a lot, you might have billions. If you do have billions, don't forget to tithe. You may have nothing. And the Apostle Paul was in both categories. Through his life, after salvation, from salvation to spiritual maturity, there were times when he had nothing. There was time when he didn't have food to eat. He didn't have clothes to wear. And there were other times when he had lots by way of material things and money. But he was content. Why? Because what is contentment? Happiness. Contentment is happiness. Contentment is you're sharing the happiness of God. And you have that happiness every day, whether you have a lot or whether you have a little. It doesn't make any difference because you have the happiness of God. Let your way of life be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. The sooner you learn that principle, the happier you will be. Four. One index to the soul of every person can be read loud and clear by his attitude toward money. One index to the soul of every person can be read loud and clear by his attitude toward money. All right. There's the doctrine of the lust patterns of the sin nature. We'll take a break and come back for verse 8. Wahoo!